Deep Leaf Audio presents Illuminatus, Part 3, Leviathan, by Robert Shea and Robert Anton Wilson. A multi-voice recording.
The mutation from terrestrial to interstellar life must be made, because the womb planet itself is going to blow up within a few billion years. Planet Earth is a stepping stone on our time trip through the galaxy. Life has to get its seed self off the planet to survive. There are also some among us who are bored with the amniotic level of mentation on this planet and look up in hopes of finding someone entertaining to talk to. Timothy Leary, Ph.D. and L. Wayne Brenner, Terra 2.
Prologue. If you'd go out and buy volumes 1 and 2, you wouldn't have to listen to this synopsis. Long shot of a gigantic shadow falling across a map of the United States. A tiny hand rises and pins a flag on Chicago. Camera pans back, and we see Markov Chaney, a midget with an incredibly malignant smile. He chuckles. Mr. Chaney, in fact, is carrying on a one-man war against the standardization. He is very substandard. And mechanization, he is very alive, of modern society. It is he who has rewired the traffic signals in all large cities so that the walk sign flashes on red and don't walk on green. He who, infiltrating printing plants, set the instructions on tax forms. He who decorates business places with idiotic instructions signed the MGT, i.e. the midget. But most people think that the abbreviation means the management, and dutifully obey. The midget versus the digits is his Mahamantram. I'll get them before they get me, he cackles. On the side, Markov is writing a book proving that all culture and science was created by men under 5 feet tall. Little men with big balls, he calls it. But you can be sure that when it is finally published, the publisher will have changed the title to Little Men with Big Ideas. If you ever see the graffito stamp out sizism, you can be sure Chaney has been there before you. Alas, unknown to himself, the very small Chaney has become a very large monkey wrench in the plans of the Illuminati, a secret society seemingly dedicated to rationality, science, law and order, and total control of everybody. Not being able to trace the activities of the elusive midget, however, the Illuminati attribute his surrealist insurrectionary activities to ELF, the Eresian Liberation Front, another vast conspiracy headed by the Dalai Lama, an old mystic who lives in the sewers below Dealey Plaza, Dallas, and seemingly plots irrationality, mysticism, anarchy, and total liberation of everybody. Cut. Tight close-up of Joe Malik as he tells us about his own involvement. I put out Confrontation magazine, you know, the last of the red-hot liberals. He shrugs ambiguously, Arab-American intellectual out of his depth, feeling as archaic as the Underground Railroad. It all began at the Democratic Convention of 1968 when I lost faith in liberalism and joined the jams. Simon Moon recruited me. Simon enters the frame, all wild hair and curly black beard, eyes aglow with LSD visions. Tim Moon was my father, and he taught me to sing Joe Hill and Union Maid before I knew the alphabet. I knew Wobbly Headquarters in Chicago before I saw a classroom. When I got my master's in math from Antioch, I could have gone to work for any corporation in the country. But 10,000 dead wobs rose from the grave singing, "Which side are you on?" And I decided it was more honorable to make my living selling weed. Simon, in fact, is a marijuana dealer only by profession. By avocation, he is a fanatic member of the Jams, Justified Ancients of Mumu, a secret society which has endured since Babylon and worships Mumu, goddess of chaos. The Jams are now in the 59th century of the war against the Illuminati. Before joining the Jams, Joe Malik says, the only people I ever heard talk about the Illuminati conspiracy were right-wing cranks. I was sure Simon was putting me on at first, but then I met the leader of the Jams. Thunder on the soundtrack. Eerie shadows cross Joe's face. We are standing outside a bungalow in Los Angeles. Simon knocks, and Joe looks nervous. The door opens and a feisty old man says, So you're the new recruit. Come in and tell me how a goddamn intellectual can help us beat the shit out of the cocksucking Illuminati motherfuckers. This little old gentleman has a peculiarly mocking and stony glitter in his eyes. And why not? He is John Dillinger, now living under the name Frank Sullivan, and president of Laughing Fallish Productions, king of the rock music industry. Flashback to 1923. Dillinger unsteadily holds a gun on grocer B.F. Morgan, who is giving the Masonic signal of distress. John makes a deal with the DA, but lands in prison for 9 years anyway. Sure that the Masons are behind this betrayal, although older cons tell him, never trust a DA's deal, or an automatic pistol. John joins the jams and subsequently uses their motto, lie down on the floor and keep calm, during each of his bank heists. This is his way of taunting J. Edgar Hoover, a 33rd degree Mason and high Illuminatus Primus. Hoover in turn recognizes John as a jam revolutionary and gives shoot-on-site orders that result in the massacre of three businessmen who are mistaken for the Dillinger gang at Little Bohemia Lodge in Wisconsin. Smarting from criticism after this embarrassing incident, the FBI subsequently keeps quiet when the man they shoot at the Biograph Theater, July 22, 1934, also turns out to be an innocent bystander. Dillinger is promoted to a higher rank in the jams and abandons such crude tactics as knocking over banks. Now, in the mid-1970s, an old man, Dillinger has decided to amalgamate the jams with still another secret society, the Legion of Dynamic Discord, headed by the enigmatic Hagbard Chilean, engineer, lawyer, mystic, and owner-designer of Fuckup, first universal, cybernetic, kinetic, uniprogrammer, the world's smartest computer. Simon Moon. Hagbard's a right-wing crank. Joe Malik. I don't know. Hagbard's a genius, that's for sure. Unfortunately, his IQ is mostly devoted to keeping the world confused about his real motives. I just don't know. Hagbard, in fact, fancies himself a sociologist and has created the snafu principle, which holds that communication is possible only between equals. All hierarchical organizations in which people function as non-equals are therefore in perpetual communication jam, he asserts. The paradigm is the army, where the phrase snafu, situation normal or fucked up, indeed originated. But every hierarchy has the same jam up, Hagbard holds, and this includes corporations, governments, and every other variety of unequal social construct. According to this theory, Hagbard cheerfully announces, the Illuminati plot to create law and order must always lead to greater and greater chaos. Where the jams worship Mumu, Babylonian goddess of chaos, Hagbard's Legion of Dynamic Discord honors Eris, Greek goddess of confusion. Unbeknown to the jams, Hagbard is also allied with the Eresian Liberation Front, ELF, in its program of Operation Mindfuck, OM, a project to overthrow authority by spreading confusion and uncertainty everywhere. Even Hagbard, however, does not realize that the tiny Markov Cheney is serving that cause better than all these conspiracies. Close-up of Fuckup, Hagbard's genius computer, as it throws an internal I Ching reading, scanning open circuits as yin lines, closed circuits as yang. These are correlated with current astronomical astrological parameters, CBS News, facts on file, and reports from Hagbard's agents in world capitals. Fuckup summarizes. World War III is imminent. Prognosis, many megadeaths. No blame. My ass, no blame, Hagbard rages. He now realizes the true importance of the Fernando Poo incident. Fernando Poo is a tiny island in the Bay of Biafra off the coast of Africa, where Captain Ernesto Tequila Imota has arranged his own promotion to Generalissimo by staging a coup d'etat. Crack CIA agents quickly report to Washington that the new regime is under the control of Russia and China. Top Soviet agents report to Moscow that it is controlled by China. Chinese intelligence pronounces it is under Moscow domination. As the three gigantic empires quarrel with one another under this mutual misapprehension, Hagbard, recognizing the fine hand of the Illuminati, reprograms Fuckup to locate the source of the real threat. Fernando Poo is, of course, only a smokescreen. The computer warns that Las Vegas needs watching. Sherry Brandy gives us her version. In this hard-ass town, the only way to make the scratch is to sell your snatch, sister. So I work for Carmel, who isn't bad as pimps go, if you don't mind getting beat all black and blue every so often. But now Carmel thinks we can get rich. Carmel is convinced that Sherry's new John, Charlie Mocenigo, who obviously works at a secret government installation in the desert, has discovered the ultimate secret weapon. Oddly, Carmel is right. The weapon is anthrax leprosy pie, ALP, a virus of omnivorous appetite. Carmel's plan to steal the formula and sell it to the first communist he can find in Las Vegas backfires, and Sherry and Mocenigo are both killed by an accidental infection. Carmel, also unknowingly infected, becomes a kind of typhoid Mary. Meanwhile, acting on a tip from Hagbard, Joe Malik sends Confrontation's ace reporter George Dorn to Mad Dog, Texas, to investigate right-wing groups there rumored to be behind the assassinations of John and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, George Lincoln Rockwell, and Spiro Agnew. In Mad Dog, George is busted for possession of marijuana and locked in jail by Sheriff Jim Cartwright. George's cellmate, a snaky-looking individual named Harry Coyne, first boasts about killing various famous people, then attempts to rape George. The jail is then invaded by a mysterious group led by Mavis, a young lady with a Tommy gun, and they remove George by way of a secret temple with a pyramid-shaped altar bearing the slogan, Ewiger Blumenkraft. Mavis tells George that Mad Dog Jail is the secret chapel of the Illuminati. George is driven to the Gulf of Mexico, where he and Mavis quarrel about politics and enjoy some oral sex until the Leif Erikson appears. This is a gigantic golden submarine owned by Hagbard Chilean. George is whisked off with Hagbard to the ruins of Atlantis. Back in New York, Saul Goodman, inspector on the homicide squad, investigates the bombing of Confrontation, the mysterious disappearance of editor Joe Malik, and the even more mysterious disappearance of all of Malik's dogs. Danny Pricefixer, a young detective, finds a series of memos to Joe Malik from a researcher, and Saul reads them. They allege that 1. According to French sociologist Jacques Ellul, the Illuminati were founded in the 11th century and were a Christian communist heresy dedicated to redistributing the wealth. 2. According to Daral's History of Secret Societies, the Illuminati were based on two medieval Arabian secret societies, the Roshinaya and the Assassins. 3. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the Illuminati were founded by Professor Adam Weishaupt in Ingolstadt, Bavaria, in 1776, and destroyed by the government in 1786. 4. According to a letter in Playboy, the Illuminati still exist and masterminded the assassinations of recent years. 5. According to Teenset magazine, the Illuminati control the rock music business. 6. According to American Opinion magazine, the Council on Foreign Relations, which has included virtually all recent presidents and secretaries of state in its membership, is an Illuminati front. 7. According to The Spark, a Chicago newspaper, Mayor Richard Daley used the Illuminati slogan, Ewiger Blumenkraft, during his diatribe at the 1968 Democratic Convention. Furthermore, George Washington was actually Adam Weishaupt in disguise. 8. According to CBS radio news release, portraits of Washington appear to depict several different men. 9. According to the East Village Other, New York, the known leaders of the Illuminati in 1969 were Malaclips the Younger, Mao Zedong, Mordecai the Fowl, Richard Nixon, the Aga Khan, Saint Yossarian, Nelson Rockefeller, Saint McMurphy, Lord Omar, and Mark Lane. This one, Saul decides thoughtfully, must be a hoax. 10. According to flying saucers in the Bible, the Ion Pyramid Illuminati symbol was given to Jefferson by a man in a black cloak. 11. According to the Planet, San Francisco, the Ion Pyramid was the symbol of Dr. Timothy Leary during his campaign for governor. 12. According to proofs of a conspiracy by 19th century Freemason John Robeson, the Illuminati controlled European Masonic lodges, but not the English lodges. 13. According to World Revolution by Nesta Webster, the Illuminati inspire and finance all socialist and communist revolutions. 14. According to History of Magic by Lifus Levi, the Illuminati are black magicians. 15. According to High IQ Bulletin, the Illuminati are invaders from Venus. 16. According to Libertarian American, the Illuminati taught black magic and psychopolitics to Adolf Hitler and J. Edgar Hoover. 17. According to the Los Angeles Free Press, the Illuminati are thought to control the Theosophical Society through California right-wingers. Bonnie Muldoon of the Bomb Squad meanwhile uncovers evidence that the Illuminati are actually Jesuits. Comparing notes, Goodman and Muldoon emerge with the tentative theory that the Illuminati are Satanists and have infiltrated virtually every organization from the Catholic Church to Freemasonry. Unfortunately, Saul next finds himself in a mental hospital, where the staff assures him he is Barney Muldoon, suffering from the hallucination that he is Saul Goodman. Hagbard Chalin, meanwhile, is rushing towards sunken Atlantis to see some long-buried artworks before the Illuminati spider ships get them. On the way, George Dorn is initiated into the Legion of Dynamic Discord by Stella, a lovely black lady. "When can I be initiated again?" he asks immediately. "Soon," Stella says lewdly. In the battle between the Leif Erikson and the spider ships, Hagbard is aided by a dolphin named Howard, leader of the AA, Atlantean Adepts, a Delphine secret society. Lots of conspiracies on this planet, George decides. George is next sent to the Blue Point Long Island home of Boston banker Robert Putney Drake, richest man in the world and secret governor of the Mafia and other crime syndicates. In exchange for the Atlantean statues, Drake switches his allegiance from the Illuminati to the Legion of Dynamic Discord. Flashback. Drake in 1918, Chateau Thierry, the last wounded survivor of a dead platoon, weeping among the corpses. "Dear Jesus, let me live, let me live." Drake in 1936, Zurich, mescaline tripping with the Eastern Brotherhood, investigating Aleister Crowley's Ordo Templi Orientis, seeking the Illuminati. Carl Jung, musing on Drake, 1936. "He doesn't want to murder his father and possess his mother. He wants to murder God and possess the universe." Arthur Flegenheimer, Dutch Schultz, dying in a Newark hospital, October 23, 1934, raving in delirium. "A boy has never wept nor dashed 1,000 kim. French-Canadian bean soup. The bears are in trouble, and the sidewalks are in trouble." Drake, studying Schultz's last words under hashish, gradually reading the secret of the Illuminati control over organized crime. Present time again. George Dorn, after the deal with Drake, is being entertained in his bedroom by Tarantella Serpentine, the lady who taught Linda Lovelace everything. George is very entertained indeed. But later, waking suddenly, he finds the house under attack by a gigantic sea monster. With Drake's help, George escapes in a silver Wraith Rolls-Royce. Drake, with a strange grin, "We deserve to die." He is quoting the last scene of Bride of Frankenstein, but George doesn't know that.